So here it is, folks. It's time. Christmas is here. You know it. I know it. We feel it. We're dealing with it. I think probably most of us are saying something like this. We are centering, right? We're saying, must stay focused. We must stay centered. Must stick to my plan. Must be centered. Must be focused. And I know that we have to say this because this is that perpetual pep talk that we give ourselves every year at about this time. So let me ask you this. Do you understand the seriousness of what we're talking about here? Because I'm guessing you do. You know, I mean, we've got all these things. I don't probably have to list them. I will. I mean, the wrapping and the shopping and the baking and the decorating and the kids' events and the family events and the church events and the work events and the preparing and the planning. And my question is this. What is your plan? I mean, how do you stay centered during this Christmas season with all of your plans? Now, speaking of plans, one day the administrative board of a church was faced with a situation that was a little dicey and uncomfortable. A man named Jim in the church, who had a serious heart condition, had just inherited $1 million, and they had to come up with a plan of how to tell Jim, but they were afraid that the shock would kill him. So they asked the pastor if he could come up with a plan and figure out a way to tell Jim how he had inherited such a large sum of money. Well, the pastor readily agreed, and so he approached Jim after church one day and casually went up to him and he said, Jim, I need to talk to you. If you had $1 million, what would you do with it? Well, Jim looked up and smiled and he said, Pastor, if God blessed me with $1 million, the first thing I would do is stand in front of the church and praise him. And then secondly, I'd give half of that money to the church. And at that point, the pastor had a heart attack and died. What we're saying is that did not go as planned. And folks, let's face it. Right now, as you are in the midst of your Christmas plans, I'm guessing some of your plans have not gone according to your will or your way. In many cases, they're broken, they're changed. You're going to find that things happen, and we get frustrated, and we realize that in many cases, we feel like we don't have any control over our Christmas. Let me ask you this. Does anyone, this is the worst segue in the world, by the way, does anyone know what the shortest chapter in the Bible is? You ever know? This is like one of those Bible trivia questions. Well, we're going to give it to you. You don't have to think too long and hard about it. The shortest chapter of the Bible is Psalm 117, believe it or not. So you can store that away in your memory bank. Amaze and wow your friends. You can tell them that. Ironically, that shortest chapter of the Bible is, according to BibleInfo.com, the center or middle chapter of the King James Bible. Now, why do you care about this? And you may say, Chad, I don't care about this. And that's okay. But I'm going to tell you anyway. It's because that short and sweet and simple and centered chapter offers us insightful instruction on how to approach our upcoming Christmas celebration. And it starts with a word that appears quite frequently in that passage. And the word is praise. Let's read it. Psalm 117, here's what it says. The psalmist says, praise the Lord, all nations everywhere. Praise him, all the peoples of the earth. For he loves us very dearly, and his truth endures. Praise the Lord. Now, those are powerful words, and obviously we see the importance of the praise that's associated to this passage. It is easy during the Christmas season to allow presents and preparation and parties and programs to be prioritized over God-centered praise. Psalm 150 verse 6 says this, let everything give praises to the Lord. You praise him. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know that we've said hallelujah yet during our Christmas season, but I'm hoping that somewhere it might appear as we are going through our Christmas plans. You see, the center chapter of the Bible offers a central message to all people, and that message is that we are called to praise God. Now, while we are often inclined to praise God for what we have, the central message of Christianity encourages us to praise God, especially during Christmas, to praise God for who he gives. The center of our Christmas, the aim of our praise, the reason for the season, God's Son, our Savior, the newborn Messiah, it is Jesus. He is the center of God's plan. He should be the center of our lives, and he is the reason why we have Christmas. And many people will say, I know, but I sometimes fail to remember. And I get it. Because in many cases, our plans become greater than God's plans. And at Christmas time, there are times when we simply forget about Jesus. Psalm 117:2 says this, and these are important words. There's two words here we want to focus on. It says, the psalmist says, for he loves, there's a key word, for he loves us very dearly, and his second word, his truth endures, praise the Lord. Now, why do we focus on those words? He loves us very dearly, so much that he devised a plan to save those who believe in and love and live for his son. As John 14:6 tells us, if you know the passage, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And so Psalm 117 tells us all about Jesus in this passage and why we should praise God for him. Because Jesus Christ is the truth, and he is the reason for this season. John 3:16, remember we talked about that word love? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that anyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, his love for us prompted a plan for us. It is clearly evidenced during Christmas, he gave the world his son to save man from his sin. That's the plan. Now, I don't know if that means anything, because in many cases, I think we forget about it. I think we get so wrapped up in our plans, I think that we forget to see what God's plan ultimately was for Christmas. It was that we should center our lives on Jesus. We don't always do this. You know, Jesus means God saves? You know, that's part of God's plan. I mean, the name wasn't by circumstance. It wasn't a haphazard or random choice. It means that he had a plan for us, but we get so busy with our plans that oftentimes we miss God's plan. John said in 1 John 4:9 and 10, he said, God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into this wicked world to bring to us eternal life through his death. In this act, we see what real love is. It is not our love for God, but his love for us when he sent his son to satisfy God's anger against our sins. You see, God has always had a plan for man, but it becomes even more evident at Christmas time, and its center is our Savior. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 4, verse 4, he says, but when the right time came, the time God decided on. You ever make plans? I mean, this is how you make plans, right? I have to make plans in my secular life and my spiritual life every single day, working here and working at the funeral home. And so here's how it goes down. I got a ton of plans next week. My calendar's full. And I've got people calling me from all kinds of different organizations and places to talk about the various things that we do through the funeral home and through the church. And they'll call up and they'll say this, hey, Chad, it's Greg. Hey, Greg, what's going on? Hey, I want to get together with you. I want to talk to you about what's going on next year through the funeral home. Great. What time do you think? How about 9 a.m. Starbucks? You like coffee? I like coffee. Let's meet at 9 a.m. Starbucks. Okay, perfect. Let me write it down in my calendar. Greg writes it down in his calendar. Guess what? We just made a plan. And we do this every single day. Some write it down, some don't. Some enter it in their phone now, some don't. The point is that God already made the plan. But when the right time came, the time God decided on, he says, you know what? It's my time, and it's my plan. Listen to what he says. Paul says he sent his son. This is Christmas, folks. He sent his son. This is what we celebrate. He sent his son, born of a woman, born as a Jew, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own sons. You see, his plan for man was and still is to bring man to salvation and redemption through his son. He, Jesus, is the center of that plan. Have we at any time in the weeks that have happened so far, and we're not too deep into Christmas yet, have at any time we stopped and said, God, thank you for your plan because I thank you for your son. And I want to praise you for your son because I love Christmas. And God, I realize now that Christmas is all about Jesus. Have we done that? I've been out shopping and I've been out frolicking and all the festivities that have to do with Christmas. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've noticed that there are a lot of people that aren't doing that. There are a lot of people that really don't care about Jesus this Christmas. And there are a lot of people that have said, I don't need to know God's plan. All I need to know is to make sure, I need to know that I get my plans accomplished. I don't care about Jesus. I'm going to read you our sermon text today. It comes from Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. It's a long passage, folks. But I'm going to do this. As you read this on the screen or in your Bibles, and I encourage you to follow along closely, I'm going to interrupt myself. We're going to do a little teaching as we're doing our reading here. I want you to listen closely to what Paul has to say because it ties in, remember, to the center chapter of the Bible, Psalm 117, which is all about praise. All right, here we go. Starting with verse 3. How we, imagine that, how we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in heaven because we belong to Christ. Paul understood that Jesus Christ was at the center of God's plan. He goes on. He says, long ago, even before he, being God, made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes, without a single fault, we who stand before him covered with his love. His unchanging plan, listen to these words, his unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us, and he did this because he wanted to. And Jesus Christ could not die for us until he was born to us. And so before you get to Easter, you got to celebrate Christmas. And before you understand why Jesus gave his life, we have to understand that God sent his life. This is the center of God's Christmas plan. Moving on. Going back to Psalm 117, it's a reference. Paul says, now all praise to God for his wonderful kindness to us and his favor that he has poured out upon us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. So overflowing is his kindness toward us that he took away all of our sins through the blood of his Son by whom we are saved. And he has showered down upon us the richness of his grace for how well he understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. Let me put a disclaimer on there. When we don't. Because we don't know what's best for us at all times. I can promise you this. You will make Christmas plans that will fall apart. You'll make Christmas plans that will never come to fruition. You will make Christmas plans that you think are great, and God will step in and say they're not great. Because God has a better plan for us than we actually have for ourselves. Moving on. God has told us a secret reason for sending Christ. Listen to this. A plan he decided on in mercy long ago. And this was his purpose, that when the time is ripe, he will gather us all together from wherever we are, in heaven or on earth, to be with him in Christ forever. Moreover, because of what Christ has done, we have become, Christmas reference, gifts to God that he delights in. For as part of God's sovereign plan, we were chosen from the beginning to be his, and all things happened just as he decided long ago. God's purpose in this is what we should praise God and give glory to him for doing these mighty things for us who are the first to trust in Christ. There's the praise. And finally, Paul closes with verses 13 and 14. Listen to the final words of verse 14 especially. He says, and because of what Christ did, all you others too who heard the good news about how to be saved and trusted Christ were marked as belonging to Christ by the Holy Spirit who long ago had been promised to all of us Christians. His presence within us is God's guarantee that he really will give us all that he promised. And the Spirit's seal upon us means that God has already purchased us, and he guarantees to bring us to himself. This is just one more, here it comes, one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. How many people are praising God for Jesus this Christmas? How many people just stopped for just a moment, looked at your family, looked at your children, those babies that we hold and those kids that we love and the parents that we adore that are still on this earth, our grandparents who mean so much to us. How many times have we stopped and looked in their eyes and said, I praise Jesus this Christmas for the blessings that I have? Phillips Brooks said this. He says, 19 wide centuries have come and gone, and today he, being Jesus, is the central figure of the human race and the leader of the column of progress. Napoleon, of all people. Napoleon once said, I marvel that whereas the ambitious dreams of myself, Caesar, and Alexander should have vanished into thin air, a Judean peasant, Jesus, should be able to stretch his hands across the centuries and control the destinies of men and nations. The Illustrated Dictionary of the Bible calls Jesus the central figure of the human race. Psalm 118, 22, and 23, in reference to Jesus, says the stone rejected by the builders has now become the capstone of the arch. This is the Lord's doing, says the psalmist, and it's marvelous to see. Do we know what a capstone of an arch is? I've never built an arch. I eat at the golden arches. I don't know anything about an arch, but I can tell you this. Here's what we know. We know this, that the capstone, the stone, that is the stone that is placed at the center, at the top, that holds the edifice together. And they say it's the most important part of the structure. Would we agree today that our Savior is the most important part of this church and every church which is structured? I believe it to be the case. Today we see it to be real and true. Jesus is the center of God's plan. He holds this plan for man together. It's interesting to note that Jesus is always and should always be in the center of our lives. It is not your husband. It is not your wife. It is not your kids. It is not your family members. It's not your friends. It's not your job. It's not your tree. It's not your presence. The center of Jesus at this Christmas is Jesus. It's nothing else. And it saddens me when we change God's plan and we put other things before Jesus. You know, I look at the Holy Trinity and I see God and I see the Holy Spirit, and in the center is Jesus. I see Golgotha. I see three crosses on a hill with two thieves on each side, and in the center on that cross is Jesus. Are we centered in and focused on our Savior? I was talking to somebody this week and they said, Chad, I know this is not right. I know that right now my kids are first in my life. And I said, go on. And they said, I also know that after that's probably my spouse. And I said, keep going. And they said, and then probably at my job. And I said, where's God in all this? And the person said, I know. And I said, here's my recommendation. Fresh off the sermon preparation, I said, here's my recommendation. Change the priority. Remove the order. Put God and His Son first. Then go with your spouse. Then go with your children. And keep that priority list in order. And I promise you this, your Christmas will look a lot different if you center it on Jesus. We're called to teach this, folks. We cannot change God's plan. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2, 4-6, he said, God longs for all to be saved and understand this truth, that God is on one side and all the people on the other side, and Christ Jesus Himself is between them, to bring them together by giving His life for all of mankind. He couldn't give His life until He had life. He had life because of Christmas. Peter called Jesus in 1 Peter 2:7 the cornerstone, the most important and honored part of the building. You see, that puts Jesus at the center of God's plan. But let me ask you this, what about our Christmas plans? With praise, do we put Jesus in the center? We've had a week that's been crazy. We find out late that our kids have their Christmas programs where they play their instruments and sing and do all that stuff. And so we found out that we've got kids' events scheduled on the same night that we have church events. And you should have seen my wife and I were like, oh boy, uh-oh, what do we do now? And so the first thing we did is we said, what are we supposed to do according to God's will and purpose? Because it's not about us. This is what we have to do. You see, folks, it's crazy right now. Christmas plans are nuts, and we're all in the midst of them. But we got to remember God's Son, and we got to put Him first in our lives. Do we, going back to the center chapter of the Bible, do we honor Him and praise God for Him? You know, it's interesting that Jesus' mother did. This is a neat story, folks. If you go back to the Christmas story, we're going to read it on Christmas Eve night, which is, by the way, a wonderful time right here in the Covell Community Church. But you're going to see that Jesus' mother did. I want to share this. By the way, if you're not familiar with the story, we're just going to encapsulate it real quick. There was a guy named Zacharias. Same name, or same person, different names. And Zacharias was married to a lady named Elizabeth. And you may know this story because Elizabeth and Zacharias had a son. And that son, his name was John the Baptist. You might have heard of this guy. He followed in the long line of Elijah. He was a guy that could go out and evangelize and change souls and bring people to Jesus Christ. And so Elizabeth had found out through a messenger, an angel that had come to her, that she was pregnant. Imagine how thrilled she was. And so Elizabeth had found out that she was pregnant. But at the same time, this lady named Mary, you might have heard of her. And Mary was engaged or betrothed to Joseph. And so we find out that Mary had found out she was going to be pregnant too. Can you imagine? Two cousins married at the same time. Had to be a good thing. It's all of a sudden, Jesus' mother understood all this, because here's what happens. Elizabeth, who was Mary's cousin, comes in and she tells Mary in Luke 1:42. Keep in mind, the angels visit them both. They both know this information now. And here's what it says. It says, Elizabeth says to Mary, you are favored by God above all other women. And your child, are you ready? Listen to this, Psalm 117. And your child is destined for God's mightiest praise. Now here's what Mary says. Mary looks at Elizabeth and she says in Luke 1, verse 46, she says, "How I praise the Lord." Why did she praise the Lord? Because she knew that she had to praise God for his son that she was going to bear. You see, this was an incredible gift, and Mary understood that Jesus Christ, the son that she was going to have, was at the center of God's plan. Imagine how Mary must have felt. Imagine how Elizabeth must have felt. They knew who to praise. Do we? Purpose-driven life author Rick Warren once said that, quote, "The entire reason for Christmas is the love of God. From the very beginning," says Warren, "God's plan has always been to make you like his son Jesus. But one cause of conflict to this plan is our natural self-centeredness," end quote. No, couldn't be. Self-centeredness. We couldn't be self-centered, are we? I mean, that seems crazy. Folks, we're always self-centered. This is our sin nature. It's at the very core of our being. We say this, "My plan's greater than your plan, God. I got to get things done. I don't have time for your son. I need to do things to accomplish my will and purpose. Oh, and by the way, if I have time, I will try to make time for Jesus." Look around, folks. Christmas is here. Look around. A lot of empty seats. Christmas is here. There are people that are making plans because Christmas is here. I get it. We understand it. But I'm not sure how thrilled God is with it. Because at the end of the day, we're still called to make Jesus the center of our plan. You see, this happens. All this happens when our plans and our preparation, our programs, our parties, and our presence become greater and more important than our praise for God's plan, for giving us his son, and for his presence. This is what happens. In the Christmas stories recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, we find in Matthew 2:2, the astrologers or the magi, however you want to refer to them, coming to worship him and praise him. And then we see in Luke 2:13, the angels of God, they're coming to Jesus to praise him and glorify him. They knew the significance of Jesus, and they praise God for him. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "Thank God for his son, his gift, too wonderful for words." Did we hear those words correctly? That's a nice Christmas reference there. Thank God for his son, his gift, too wonderful for words. You ever gotten a gift that's too wonderful for words? We must get centered in Scripture. We got to be focused on our Savior. Pastor Tony Evans once said that many people get busy during Christmas season and forget that the birth of Jesus Christ is the reason for the season, end quote. Will we willingly make him the center of our Christmas plans? I'm going to admit something. I wasn't always putting Jesus at the center of my Christmas. I was a typical young boy who had a lot of problems at Christmas. For me, it was all about the presents with a T, not a C. And I remember growing up, it was, my brother and I always look forward to Christmas morning. And on this one particular Christmas morning, we went down and there's the presents and we're excited because we're young and we're boys. And so we see all the boxes. And if you're like me, I have present radar. And I used to have this as a kid. It's really failed me now, but it used to be very honed. And I would go down and I could identify, within 4 seconds, I could identify the shirt boxes. You know what I'm talking about. And when you see a shirt box, like, oh man, those are going first. Because we knew the shirt boxes, the big, strange, tall, large boxes were the ones. It didn't matter what it was in, we just loved them. And so I remember that we had identified the shirt boxes. And so my brother and I, we see the shirt boxes and we're young. And so we start unwrapping them. And I remember I unwrapped this one shirt box. It was definitely a shirt box. I tear the paper off and I open up the box. And literally when I open up the box, what happened next, I could not have accounted for. There was the worst offensive smell of rubber I have ever smelled in my life. I mean, it was like I'd put my nose up to a Goodyear. And I realized at that point, I was like, oh, yeah, Mom and Dad went to Farm and Fleet and got us a sweater. Because all sweaters smell like rubber at Farm and Fleet. And so I had me a rubber sweater. And I remember when I opened that thing up, I'm like, really? A rubber sweater. Okay, thanks, Mom and Dad. And I'll never forget that sweater. It was not a pretty sweater. But it smelled even worse. And I thought, I can't wear this to school because I'm going to smell like a human tire. But I was not focused on Jesus at that Christmas. I remember being focused on the presents. I remember, you know, when we used to get socks. Folks, don't get socks. Just don't do it. Just if you want to make enemies, give socks. If you want to keep family and friends close, don't give them socks. One particular year, and I shared this in the first service because there's a person here that likes this, but My grandma never liked sports. She didn't even know what sports was. My grandma had nothing to do with sports, and my brother and I really liked sports. And so when we were growing up, my grandmother would never think about getting us anything for anything sports related. As a matter of fact, just a quick little snippet here. My grandma gave us the game Trouble. You know the game Trouble, the tunk tunk in the dice rolls? And so anyway, my kids were over at my mom and dad's decorating the Christmas tree, and my kids fell in love with the 1974 version of Trouble that I got when I was a kid. I couldn't believe it. Talk about it coming full circle. But my grandma, who gave us that game of Trouble, many years ago, we went to a family get-together. We were small, and we loved our sports. And I don't know if you remember this, but back in the 70s and 80s, they came up with these. These were the coolest things ever. If you were in the 70s and 80s, you're going to remember this if you love sports. But they made these tall, metal, cylindrical sports garbage cans that had your favorite logo of your team, and everybody wanted one. And I remember when we got to my grandma's, I see these tall boxes, and she's never given us a cool gift in her life. And so I'm thinking, maybe, just maybe, it's good this year. At least it wasn't a shirt box. And so my brother and I tear in, and my brother's the first one done, and he pulls it out, and it is a Chicago Bears cylindrical metal can. And I thought, this is the coolest thing ever. I wonder what I got. And so I tear mine open. I open up the box, and I pull it out, and it's a Dallas Cowboys garbage can. And I remember looking at my mom and dad like, I don't like the Cowboys. This is the 70s version of the Cowboys with Staubach and Hill and Dorsey. I don't like them. And I remember looking at this, I'm like, there's my grandma. Ah! And I'm like, And the whole time I'm looking at my brother's can. I'm like, yeah, you get the Bears. Want to trade? No. And the irony is that I should have taken the Dallas Cowboys garbage can and put it in his Bears garbage can and throw it away. That's what I thought about. It was wrong. So many years I had to look at that Cowboys garbage can. I'm okay with them now. I just didn't like them then. But here's my point, folks. My point was, as a kid, Jesus wasn't the center of my Christmas. I was more concerned about the presents. And in many cases, we put a lot of things before God's perfect plan for Christmas, and that is that we are called every day, not just on Sundays, not just here, but every day we're called to praise Jesus. I went out, I'm a Black Friday guy, I love Black Friday. In fact, I wish there was a Black Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through Christmas Eve. Call it Black Christmas Eve for all I care. I could shop every day and I love it. My wife hates every minute of it. It's the perfect match. And so I was out there this year, and you know what we're talking about, you know, and it happens, and I don't know if it affects you like it does me. I mean, I'm past it now, but you know the people who say, thank you for shopping with us, happy holidays, and I just want to say, Merry Christmas. But I did that. I was, you know, happy holidays. Oh, yeah, happy holidays and Merry Christmas, because I believe it's our responsibility to put Jesus at the center of Christmas, and if we don't do it, folks, will. You see, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a lot of things happening in our nation today, and one of the biggest things happening in our nation is that the people are trying to remove Jesus from Christmas. You're seeing it everywhere. It's up to us to make sure to keep Jesus at the center of Christmas, but it starts with us. And so when we're making our Christmas plans, we have to remember that God has an even greater plan that far usurps anything that we should want or do. S. Maxwell Coder once said, as we are constituted by nature, we prefer our own way. Now, I don't know S. Maxwell Coder. I've never met him. He's a writer for Moody Bible Institute. I don't know him. But I can tell you this. S. Maxwell Coder was being nice. Because really what he wanted to say, he was very verbose and stately. As we are constituted by nature, we prefer our own way. Really, he just wanted to say, you're all selfish. We're all selfish. That's what he wanted to say. He just didn't say it. But that's what we are, folks. At Christmas time, we become very selfish and we forget about Jesus. Sadly, our own way puts us, not Jesus, at the center of our plans, and this act is not praiseworthy, Psalm 117. And regarding our attitude at Christmas, folks, it's not healthy. It's just not healthy. How much do we want a God-planned, Christ-centered Christmas where all of our praise is given to God for his son Jesus? I do. Poor Charlie Brown. I always feel bad for Charlie Brown. If you watch it, Merry Christmas something, Charlie Brown. I've only watched the show 984,000 times. I don't remember the name of it, but you know, with the tree and everything. But poor Charlie Brown, he was consumed by commercialism among all the peanuts cast, and his frustration mounted as he attempted to find the true meaning of Christmas through a school play in that spindly little tree with the one red ornament where he thought he killed it. And ultimately, it was his best friend Linus who took center stage, literally. I mean, if you watch a show, he takes center stage. And he educated Charlie on the true meaning of Christmas as he recited the Christmas scriptures to his dejected friend. You see, little Linus Van Pelt, he knew somehow with that little blue blanket, he knew the center of God's plan. And as it was, by sharing the birth of Jesus Christ and the praise that was due it, he subsequently changed the hurried and godless Christmas plans of millions and millions of viewers. And he taught them to make the Savior the center of their Christmas celebration. And every year when we tune in to watch Charlie Brown and Linus Van Pelt and the guy that dances like this, and we watch that. By the way, we do that in our living room every time we decorate the tree. We try to mimic every Charlie Brown dancer. Do it. It's fun. But as we look back on this, we realize that Linus Van Pelt got it. You see, Linus Van Pelt understood it, and he understood that Jesus was the center of God's plan. You know, the center of God's plan is about his son and our redemption. It's about our salvation and about us living in eternity with him. And according to God, really nothing else matters. Now the question is, what matters to us? You see, the center of the Bible, that center chapter of the Bible, is all about praise given to God for his son, Jesus. And I hope and I pray that as we are embarking, we're at the beginning stages of our Christmas celebration, but I hope and I pray that as we embark on this celebration, I pray that we will remember God's plan, that it is steeped in our redemption, and that we will focus all of our attention and center every single thing that we do, our plans, our priorities, our presents, our packages and our parties, and everything that we do will be centered on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That is what we are called to do this Christmas, and it's got to be about Jesus. The center of our Christmas, Jesus. Everywhere we go and everything we do, where we work, where we live, where we play, I hope that when people see us and meet us, they'll see Jesus. This is our goal, folks. It's December 6th. We've got a few more weeks of Christmas celebrating and planning and preparing. But I hope and pray that we will put him at the center of our plans. And if we do, I promise you this, Christmas will look different. I want to share this one last thing before we depart today. I will make this brief. I shared it in the second service, or in the first service, but I want to make sure we hear this. And it's funny because typically, I get to see everybody. I mean, I get to see everybody up there. And so, you know, I will say this. I hope I don't offend. This might offend. I'm going to be prepared for the backlash that comes from this statement. But in many cases leading up to Christmas, I am usually aware of the fact that most of you will come in and look very tired. You just look tired. And the reason is because you are in the midst of Christmas plans. I get it. I understand it. In the first service, I had people falling asleep, and I called them out. I yelled! And they, whoa, okay. And I get that. I understand that. I mean, we're busy, and I get that. And what's interesting to notice on Christmas Eve, when everybody comes here, you have a different countenance. Everybody looks different. You're alive. You're exhilarated. You're excited. And you want to know why? Because I believe I know why. It's because you've made it through your Christmas plans. Everything culminates on that one special night, Christmas Eve, where you're excited about everything. There's no more shopping, no more wrapping, no more decorating, no more baking. It's all done. And so at that time, you come in with eyes wide open, ready to praise your Lord and Savior, Jesus. It's all about him. He's the center. He is our Savior. My point is if we can take what we feel on Christmas Eve, especially right here in this church, and we can channel it and center it all the way through our Christmas, if we can walk around with smiles on our faces, if we can feel like we've overcome our crazy plans based on the center of God's plan, this Christmas is going to be great for all of us. That I pray. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for making this true to us and for making this known to us that Jesus is the center of your plan. That's what Christmas is all about. Help us to not get tied up and to get stressed out with the various things that make us feel this way. And I pray today that our plans will never be greater than yours. And I pray today that Jesus will be at the center of our lives. And I ask it according to your will. I praise you today for Psalm 117 that tells us to praise you. I thank you for the scripture passage that we read today from Ephesians that teaches us to trust in and understand and know your plan for man. Thank you for what you give us. Thank you for this congregation of believers, and thank you for what we have encountered today. Now go with us and keep us safe. Walk with us. Help us to live like Christ and all that we say and do. It's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.